Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Shoftim Perek Vav, Chapter 6. So we're about to learn our fourth major Shofet. We talked about that some of the Shoftim, some of these leaders have very sparse information, but sometimes we get more information. And this is one of those cases. We're about to learn the story of Gidon. And Gidon will stretch Prekim Vav, Zayin, and Chet. It's a longer story, and this story is really the appointment of Gidon, but there's a lot to learn from this story. Now, we begin as usual with the cycle of what's going on at the time. And at first, things seem very typical. We begin with the first pasuk, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael hara b'nei Hashem. B'nei Yisrael did bad in the eyes of God, and this time they're put in the hands of Midian for 7 years. Now, it's not just Midian, we find out. It's also Midian, Amalek, and B'nai Kedem. Now, all these tribes join together because they're nomadic tribes. So they've joined forces in order to attack and oppress B'nai Israel. And specifically here, they destroyed all of their land, all of their wheat. We have in Pasuk Dalet, Vayashchitu et Yivul Ha'aretz, they destroyed all of the food that was being produced by the land. V'lo yashiru michya b'Yisrael, there was no food left. We also hear that the Jewish people had to build for themselves caves and they were hiding in the mountains in order to escape. So we know that the situation really is very dire. In Pasuk Vav, where that description closes, we hear Vayidal Yisrael Ma'od Mipnei Midian, which means really that they were just impoverished. They were really suffering. And it's no surprise that at the end of the Pasuk, we have Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. They cry out to God. And so far, this seems to be following the cycle that we've expected, which is there's an oppression, then the people cry out. And what we'd expect next is that God would send a leader. But instead, the cycle gets interrupted. And we've discussed in the beginning, I think, that things will start to fall apart as Sefer, the Book of Judges, continues. So this is really where we can see a real shift in what's happening. Instead of sending a savior, someone who's going to jump up and save them, a charismatic leader, instead Hashem sends an Ish Navi, a prophet. And this prophet comes and gives him a very similar speech to the speech that we saw at the beginning of the Sefer, the speech that we saw in Perek Bet, where the prophet says, I, Hashem, took you out. I did all these things to save you. I took you from Egypt and I brought you into Israel. And now, despite that, you didn't listen to my voice. So instead of saving them, God jumps in here and gives the people Musar. He tells them about what is going wrong. Now, since we saw the Musar that the Malach gave to the people in Perek Bet, what's jarring here is that there's no response by the people. There, the people cried, and that was the name that was given to the place in recognition of that. The place was called Bochim. Here, there's no response recorded by the people. Next thing that happens in Pasuk Yud Aleph is that we do get our Savior, but it happens in a kind of drawn-out conversational way. So a Malach Hashem comes to Gidon, the son of Yoash, and this Gidon at that time is preparing his wheat in the wine press. And the reason why he's dealing with wheat in the wine press is because he's trying to hide it from Midian, which was taking all of their produce, all of their wheat, anything that they were, the food that they were producing. So clearly there's no wine, but they, in order to create, you know, to work with the wheat and get some food for the people, Gidon is doing it there. And the Malach approaches him and he says to him, Hashem imcha gibor hachayil, God is with you, you strong warrior. But just note there that it's interesting, we haven't seen anything that speaks to Gidon being a gibor chayil. Perhaps the Malach is trying to give him strength by calling him by what he'll do in the future. But Gidon has actually a very strong, striking reaction. And this is Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm going to read it too. Vayomer elav Gidon. So Gidon responds to him, and he says, Bi Adoni, excuse me, my master. V'yesh Hashem imanu, v'lama matzatanu kol zot. If God is really with us, why has all of this happened to us? V'ayei kol niflotav asher sipru lanu avotinu lemor halomi mitzrayim helanu Hashem. Right? Where are all those miracles that we heard about through the ages that God saved us, God took us out of Egypt? V'ata natashanu Hashem. V'yitznenu b'kaf Midian. Now God has left us, he's abandoned us, and he's put us in the hand of Midian. And actually, Rashi has a very beautiful midrashic reading on this. And he says, Gido mentions, where are all the miracles that our fathers told us? Rashi comments that actually it was Pesach. And Gideon said, I just heard last night, right? My father read me Hallel, and I learned about all the amazing things that God did for the people when they left Mitzrayim, but now you've left us. And Gideon's question is, this is, I'm reading from Rashi, Im tzadikim hayu avotenu, ya'aselanu bizchutam. So if our fathers, our forefathers were tzadikim, then save us in their merit, zchut avot. Ve'im rishaim hayu, but if they were evil, kishem she'asalahem niflotav chinam ken yaselanu, right? Then just as you saved them at that time, even though they weren't worthy, save us. So it's almost he's turning to this malach and saying, there's a demand, but there's also like a theological question. Where are you, God? Why don't I see you in my life? This is not a doubt to God's existence, but it's a question of, it's a like kind of calling God to task, so to speak. Like, I don't understand. If God is he really there, then why don't I see his presence in my life? Now the Malach Hashem turns to him and ends. And actually, interestingly, in Pasuk Yudal, the word Malach, which even though it's probably incidental, it drops away. But V'yifen alav Hashem. Now God seems to speak to him directly and says, "Lech bekochacha ze, go with actually this strength. Bahoshata Yisrael mikaf Midian, save them from Midian. Halo shlachticha, I've sent you. I am sending you." Actually, Rashi does say, "Va'yifen alav Hakadosh Baruch Hu." This time, ba'atzma, Hashem is actually speaking to him directly. And what is bekochach hazeh? Bekoach hazchut hazeh shalamadata sanagoria al banai. The fact that you were defending the people. This is exactly the strength that I demand, that I need from my leader. And so there's a very powerful, the first thing we meet about Gideon, it's really just a very inspiring conversation. Like there's a click there, like Hashem imcha gibor achayel, and Gideon has a lot pent up inside. He's upset. He's angry. He wants to fix this. He wants to deal with this. And we're kind of like all on board with Gideon. But yet then the next pasuk that we have, Gideon's personality takes a shift. And this is in pasuk tet vav. Gideon says, "Be Adoni," again, like my master, "Bame Oshia Israel," right? How should I save Bnei Israel? Hine al pi hadal b'menasha v'anochi hatzair b'veit avi. And actually, just a correction there. He says he uses, it's not Adoni, my master. It's kind of changing here. Okay, now I'm speaking. There's a recognition of now I'm speaking to God. But how should I save the people? My family is the weakest, the lowest in Menashe, and I personally am the youngest in my father's home. And God answers, "Ki ehya imach, I'm going to be with you, and because I'm going to be with you, that's why you're going to be able to attack Midian." And this doubt is very reminiscent of Moshe, who also, when he was appointed, argued with Hashem and said, "Why me? They won't trust me. Who am I? I'm the youngest." And Hashem answered with exactly the same words. Hashem said to Moshe, "Ki eye imach, I'm going to be with you, right? And I'm sending you. This is the oath that I've sent you." And it sounds that this catching on to the Moshe piece also triggers us. It's a signpost that something's happening here. There's maybe a powerful savior about to come in. Okay, but next, then Gideon has another question. Yudzayin vayomer elav, he says again to his visitor, Malach Hashem, "Im na matzat yichin be'enecha va'asita li ochat hamedaberimi." If I find favor in your eyes, please do a sign for me so that I know that you are really speaking to me. How do I know that this is God? So he brings the Malach Hashem agrees. Gideon runs back to his house. He brings matzot and basar, matzot and meat and soup brings it back to the malach. The malach spills out the soup and then takes fire on it, takes his stick, which turns into fire, and he incinerates the basar and the matzot. There's a lot we could talk about that sign in of itself, but for time purposes, we'll leave that. Gidon then realizes, I am talking to Hashem, and he says, Ki al kein ra'iti malach Hashem panim el panim. I saw an angel of God face to face. Once again, these words, panim el panim, these are Moshe words. Moshe is the one who Hashem says, actually, it's not Moshe's expression, but it's Hashem's expression. He says it in Bamidbar, in Devarim. Moshe is the one who spoke to Hashem face to face. So we have another Moshe signpost. And I think one thing that's interesting here, which is the contrast that I was speaking about before, it's the Moshe questions, but they seem to be happening in the opposite order, right? Moshe first had, when Hashem met Moshe at the Sneh, right? First it was a, who are you? Then after that, can I do this? And only later does Moshe argue with Hashem about what he's done. And here's the quote. This is at the end of Shemot Perek Hey. Moshe goes back to Egypt. And after his first failed mission, he speaks to Paro, but his mission fails. And he says to Paro, please, you know, alleviate the work, send us out. And Paro responds by making the work even harder. And Moshe cries out to Hashem at the end of that. It's really the very end of Parshat Shmot. It says, Vayashav Moshe el Hashem, Vayomer Adonai, Lama hariotel amazel, Lama ze shlachtani. Why are you doing so bad to this nation? Why have you sent me? Right? What, since I've come to Paro, the only thing you've done is done evil to the people. Vahatzel lo hitzalta tamecha. And you haven't saved your nation. This really sounds like Gidon's first question to Hashem. So while Moshe almost like builds up to this, it's the opposite order. So Gidon is like questioning Hashem's intervention, then questioning, can I do this? And then questioning, is this really God? While Moshe, on the other hand, it's, okay, is this God? Can I do this? And then questioning the way that Hashem is intervening. And I think it actually makes a lot of sense because Hashem came to Moshe, and the first thing he did was he introduced himself. He said, I'm God. It was the Sneh burning. And once he said that, then the next question in order was, Moshe recognized he was speaking to God and then said, I don't know if I can do this. And finally, once he agreed to do this and he sees the mission is failing, then he comes with his question about God's intervention. Gidon is the opposite. He actually, presumably, didn't even know that it was Malach Hashem who was speaking to him. So his first question was a question of, hey, I would say this to anybody. He said to him, Gibor Chayil. He said, why are you calling me a Gibor Chayil? What can really happen here? Is God really with us? Then he gets more encouragement. No, you could do this. Go save them. So then he doubts himself. And ultimately, it's his last question is, am I really speaking to God? Prove yourself that this is God. So there's a reversal, but I think the reversal is also because of the way that it laid out. But certainly we have these elements of leadership that we saw with Moshe, which really makes us very hopeful about Gidon. And Moshe is not the only comparison or earlier like kind of biblical reference that we have with Gidon, because the next thing Gidon is told to do is he is told to prove himself, so to speak, by going to take the Mizbeach, his father's Mizbeach, that was built for Baal and Asherah. It was built for the pagan gods. Cut it down and then give a korban on that Mizbeach. And Gidon does do that. He does it at night because he's fearful, but Gidon does it. He gets rid of the Mizbeach and he builds up a Mizbeach that he gives to God in that place and using the trees that he cut down from Asherah. Now the people are angry. Okay, so we really do see this as evidence that there was the pagan worship that was happening at the time. And clearly there's worship of God and pagan worship. They come to his house. They can imagine them like kind of banging on the door and they say, hand out Gidon. Now Yoash, Gidon's father, comes out and he says to them, a very beautiful pasuk. He says, Ha'atem tarivu l'ba'al, imatem toshinoto. Are you the ones who are fighting Ba'al? Are you going to save him? Im Elohimu, Yarev Lo. If he really is a god, let him fight for himself. Kinitat set Mizbacho. Like, let him fight Gidon himself, because Gidon broke down his Mizbach. So it certainly seems like the first person that Gidon gets on his side is his father, Yoash, who we know was an idolater, but then goes out to defend him. So in some ways, there's actually a lot of similarities here with the Midrash about Avram Avinu, that there was an exit. Gidon is commanded to do that, to break down the idolatry. Both Gidon and Avraham, according to Midrash, do that. And there is a response from the people, an angry response. But while Terach was not a defender of Avraham, or presumably, from what we see in the Pshat, but Yoash definitely does seem to be Gidon's first defender, and Gidon takes on that name of Yerubbaal. Now, the story then ends. We almost would expect, I think actually that would be a great ending to the parak, but that's not actually the way the parak ends. Instead, Gidon starts to go out, and he starts to gather some of the northern tribes to come help, and then all of a sudden, at the very end of the parak, Gidon turns to God and asks him again for another sign. He says, "Im yeshcha moshia biadi, if you really want to save the people in my hands, then do this sign. I'll have let dew fall just on the wool that's in the goren, in the wine area. And if it only goes on the wool, then I'll know that you want me to save Bnei Israel." And yes, indeed that happens. But then Gidon turns to God and says again, "Al yibchar abchabi," this is the very end of the parak, pasuk lametet, "don't get angry at me one more time. I just want one more test. I want to make sure that you really want me to do it." And it's the reverse of the earlier test. And yes, indeed that happens. Now, it's interesting that this seems like kind of out of place. Like, didn't Gidon, he already got a sign. He's already been successful. What's happening here? So I think there's like two possibilities here. And one possibility is we did see this kernel of fear with Gidon, which we're going to explore again in the next parak. I mentioned earlier that when he broke down his father's mizbeach, this is in Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, "Vayhi kasher yarei et beit avi v'et anshei ha'ir," because he was afraid of his father's home and the people in the city, "me'asot yomam," he was too afraid to do it in the day, "v'ya'as laila." So perhaps Gidon does have, despite his initial outburst and his defense of Bnei Israel, there is a kernel of fear that's holding him back. Alternatively, in Dr. Elitzur's commentary on the Dot Mikra, he suggests something else, that there actually was a battle that was fought in between that's not fully recorded here. We have some remnants of it in Perek Chet that we'll talk about when we get there. But there was actually a first defeat in the battle. So then Gidon's questions, we understand more when there's an initial defeat. It raises questions for Gidon of, am I really the right person to do this? Is this really going to happen through my hands? In that way, almost similar to Moshe's demand of Hashem that we mentioned at the beginning, Moshe demanded from Hashem, "Why are you sending me? Right? Aren't you?" The point was to save, in a different kind of tone. Gidon's is really a self-doubt. Maybe I'm not the right person. I need a sign for reassurance. So just to review, we start out with our cycle, but then our cycle is interrupted. We do have the oppressors, but instead of an immediate savior, we have Musar from a Nevi Hashem that's not responded to by the people, at least from what we know in the Psukim. Then we meet Gidon, and we meet him for a while before things start. He's told by a malach, "You are Gibor Chayil," and he responds with a number of different doubts. First, where is Hashem? A demand. Why do we not see Hashem in our lives? Then, can I do this? And then, are you really God speaking to me? And then finally, Gidon does begin to execute his plan, both in terms of getting rid of idolatry. So we see that there's a religious role modeling here. And also in terms of getting ready for war, perhaps fighting that battle. And then ultimately his asking for two signs. Maybe it's his fear, or maybe it's a response to initial failure. And I think some of the things this brings out are that it's this process of leadership is a real process. And we see this with so many of our leaders, that taking on a big thing is a big thing. And Tanakh recognizes that. We also see that a relationship with Hashem, a relationship with God, can have demands. It can be a relationship of, Hashem, where are you? I want to see your hands in my life. And that too is a relationship. Lech b'kochacha zeh. Take that strength. Use that strength to do your part, to lead. And ultimately, we also see that it's not always a linear process. The same person who is brave on one day may express fear on the next. So there's a lot to learn about the process and the leadership here. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.